What I want to talk to you about is, what are we believing? Are we believing, is it true or is it false? What are we believing? Because the enemy has been lying and deceiving us from the beginning, from the very beginning, from the garden. He's been lying to all of us since day one. And it causes you to question, and it brings confusion. Did God really say? Right? I mean, wasn't that one of his first lines when he was in the garden? Did God really say? And it causes questioning and confusion as to what's going on. And then it causes us to minimize the consequences. He said, well, you know, God had said, don't eat fruit of this. Don't. Stay away from this one. You can have everything else around you. I want to bless you with everything, but don't touch this one, or don't eat of the fruit. So then the enemy causes the question, did God really say that? Did he really say that? And we start questioning whether or not what he said to us was really true. And then we begin to minimize, or the enemy begins to minimize with the question, you shall surely not die, right? He'll bring things in where nah, it's not going to be that bad. You're really not going to die. And then he'll maximize the losses. If you don't go with this other thing, it seems like you're really going to miss out on something. And, you know, God knows your eyes are going to be opened. And you'll be as God, and you're going to know good from evil, right? So he maximizes and makes you think you're going to miss out if you don't step over the line and partake of that deception that he has out there. And he hasn't changed his game plan much. He's always trying to do these same things where he'll bring in confusion, cause us to question God, cause us to minimize what the results are, and maximize what the loss is if we don't do it and don't go his way. He's a liar and the father of lies. Amen? So whenever anything comes your way from the enemy, we need to take a stand against it and not even give place. Don't even listen a little bit. Just shut it off. No. God said, whenever Jesus was encountered by the enemy, whenever he was confronted with something, when he was in that place where the enemy was trying to tempt him, he brought up the word and he shut the enemy up. He didn't play with it. He didn't give into it at all. And all on every occasion, he could have easily. He could have proved he was God. But he didn't get caught in flesh and pride. Amen. He could have, after not eating for so many days, could have easily turned that stone into bread and partaken of that, right? His flesh could have gone that way. Well, that would have been good. I really need to eat, and this prove I'm God. No, he didn't need to prove nothing. Amen? He just needed to stand who he was. So he showed us how to do it. You just resist the lies of the enemy, and you stand your ground. Amen? Now, I don't know what the enemy's lying to you about, but he usually has something that he's trying to distract you, trying to get you to pull away, trying to get your time involved in things other than him. Amen. God has a way for us, and it's always the best way. Amen. So we need to not believe. If we know it's a lie from the enemy, just shut him up. Don't listen to it. Nah. Amen. You know, if thoughts keep coming, if they keep coming to your mind to tempt you or try to pull you aside, there's one real easy way to do something here. And here, I'm going to give you this experiment, because if thoughts are coming to your mind, the battlefield's the mind, right? And that's where it is. You have to grab hold of those thoughts, take everything captive that tries to exalt itself against the word of God, and pull it down. Pull down those strongholds. Those are what the strongholds are, those thoughts. So what happens? Oh, you're not going to make it this time. You're going to go under. No. You have to take that thought. It's trying to exalt itself against the Word of God. What's the Word of God say? I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I'm not going under. I'm going over. I'm victorious in Christ Jesus. We're replacing those thoughts. We're tearing them down and replacing them with what God says. But if we let those thoughts, you're going to die. You're not going to make it. You're going to be crippled. You're going to go under financially. Your kids aren't going to, this ain't going to. All those lies, all those deceptions, so that we're chasing after this instead of putting them in God's hand and trusting Him, and we get deceived and pulled aside, and we give up our faith in God, and it just wearies us when we're, you know, because then He'll throw something else at you, and then you're with that distraction, and no, God said, right? God said, that's the thing that puts us over, is the Word of God. That's how Jesus did it. God said. Amen. So this is the experiment I want to do. I want you, when I say go, well, you can start right now. Start saying your ABCs in your head, okay? Start saying them in your head. A, B, C. Go ahead and start. And when I count to three, I want you to start out of your mouth, tell them, start your numbers. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Where are you with your ABCs? Are they gone? Right? You can't hold on to the thought and speak at the same time. It goes. So this is the way we battle, that if you're in a tremendous battle and there's these thoughts and torment coming all the time and your mind is just going back and forth about what's going on, what to say and what not to say, you grab hold of those thoughts, you find from the Word of God or find from your confession book something to say that's in line with the Word of God that exalts it against the lie of the enemy, and you cast that thing down and you exalt, you keep it. So speaking out of your mouth, it will help you. It will help you a lot. Well, John 8:44 says, your father, the devil, this is the Passion Translation. He never understood with the truth. He never stood with the truth. He's full of nothing but lies. Lying is his native tongue, and he's a master of deception and the father of lies. So we know that, you know, a lot of times the enemy tries to deceive you and tell you you're not going to make it. Well, if a liar says you're not going to make it, what are you going to believe? If he's lying, what's the truth? You're going to make it, right? That you're going under, that you're just going to, he's done everything he can for you. You can't have anything now. What's the truth? Is that the truth? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. So we have to battle these lies, battle these deceptions. And a lot of times you need to speak it out of your mouth, not just think it. Because it gets lost in the shuffle that's going on. It gets noisy in there. Amen. You've got your own personal thoughts. You've got things that are coming in, TV or radio or something. And you've got the enemy. So when we speak, it changes the channel. It changes what we're looking at. John 8:30-31 says, Jesus said, when you continue to embrace all that I teach you, you prove that you are my followers. And if you embrace the truth, it will release true freedom into your lives. Amen. You prove it. You prove the word. Amen. By what? By embracing the truth. You're not going to let anything rise up against the truth of the Word of God. You have to embrace it, and it will release true freedom. Why? Because there's bondage in all the lies and the deceptions of the enemy. There's bondage, but there's freedom in Christ. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He's paid the price. He's bought it all for us. John 8:34 says, I speak eternal truth, This is all from the Passion Translation. I don't know if you're familiar with that one or not, but it's really an excellent translation. I speak eternal truth. Jesus said, when you sin, you are not free. You've become a slave in bondage to sin. Well, we know simply that if we've not accepted the gift of salvation and the shedding of blood to pay for our sins, we're in a state of sin. But if we believed on the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, then if we've not believed in it, then we truly are in bondage and we're in a state of oppression. And we don't want to be there. Amen? But, and if sinning brings, we're not free, then we're slaves to sin. Right? Amen. So, but here's the thing. I don't know everyone in here, but I do know that everyone in here is saved. Amen? Amen. So you've applied the blood, right? Blood of Jesus cleansed you and washed you from all unrighteousness and set you on a firm foundation. Amen. You're righteous and holy before God. You can come into the throne room anytime you want. He changed our lives radically. Amen. So we've been redeemed and we've been set free, and whom the Son sets free, we already said, is free indeed. And the price that he paid for us totally liberated us. It exempted us from the penalty of death and delivered us all. It made us free. We were free indeed, so that we are unrestrained and we can go at pleasure as citizens of heaven, not as slaves in bondage. Amen. And what the deception of the enemy is, as he binds us up with lies and deceptions and gets us to give up part of our lives. Well, you can't do that anymore. You might have been a blessing over in that group at one point in time, but he'll start telling you, you're not good enough, you can't do it. He'll start on something, saying, trying to paint a picture, trying to say, well, you might have gotten healed last time, but this time, you know, you're getting up there in age, it ain't going to happen the same. Do we buy it? You might have gotten yourself out of debt last time, but it's not going to happen again. God's only so merciful. Do we buy it? We have got to just clear the slate. When all that those lies and things are coming in, we've got to just know, because what that is meant, the enemy means to do with that is to bind you up, to bring you back under bondage into slavery. No, you're not under sin anymore, but we've been redeemed. We've been bought, we've been set free, and if he can get us to believe his lies and his deceptions that we don't have what God has said we have, then he's bringing us back under bondage. So what do? We've got to stand our ground. When you've done all to stand, what do? Stand therefore. Now these are simple truths that we have had for years. And so I know I'm not teaching you anything brand new, but we have to choose to believe them. The enemy is trying to hold us back, and he will if we believe the lies. John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall what? Read the truth? Shall hear the truth? What's it say? You shall know it. Well, when we get in the Word of God, it says in his light, when we're in his presence, I'm trusting that when you get in the Word of God, that you're meeting with God. Amen? Right? He's residing on the inside of us, and the Spirit of God is speaking to us. He's leading us. He's taking us someplace when we get in the Word. If we're going through it ritualistically and we're just going through and we got to get our time in because we haven't been in the Word long enough today and we don't want to upset God, so we're going to have to get in the Word. We're doing it religiously. Where's your expectation? Are you expecting to meet with the one who gave the word? Are you expecting to meet with the word, the living word? Because he is there. And he brings light. He brings revelation to us. He wants to enlighten our eyes and our understanding to know the hope of our calling in Christ Jesus. So we should go into the word, because this says if we know the truth is going to make us free. And it's going to make us free in every area. And if he's already paid the price, redeemed us, and given it unto us, everything pertaining to life and godliness, he's delivered unto us. So it's ours for the taking. We just have to grab hold of that truth and say, that's mine. I know it. So light comes when you're in his presence. When you're in light, there is light. When you're in his presence, more light comes. Revelation begins to come. Have an expectation when you open the Word of God that he's going to speak to you. He's going to open your eyes. He's going to reveal to you. You know, sometimes we think we've got a specific question. Well, he didn't answer that, so God's not talking to me. No, he might need to do some groundwork. Amen. When our first year at Rhema, they told us, if you know it all, you don't need to be here. You can go home now. It says, this place is for people that don't know it all. And part of the first year, they're scraping off a lot of junk that we were believing wrong. And then they started adding to it. Once they got the junk scraped off, then they could build on the foundation. Amen? And sometimes that's with us. God can't download instantly the answer you want right then, because he's got to scrape some stuff off the top that you've been looking at wrong. And if you get upset that you're not getting your answer right this second, and you cut God off, and that happens a lot, God didn't speak to me, and people walk away from the word, walk away from their time with God. No, keep an open heart. And just whatever he speaks to you about, incorporate that and do it. Be a doer of the word. It's not the hearers that are blessed. It's the doers of the word. So when God speaks to you about anything, no matter how itty-bitty it is, no matter how big it is, you know, for example, there was an issue that I was going through. Well, actually, it wasn't an issue to begin with. God started speaking to me years ago about cutting coffee out of my life. So I played with that, and I went from, regular coffee to decaf, but that's still coffee, isn't it? And I'm playing with it, and, it's not that big of a deal. I'm telling you, when God speaks, and I don't care how big, what issue it is, it's a big deal. Because he'll tell you things to come. He'll show, he'll reveal to you what you need. And when he spoke to me, I'm playing with it. I'm coffee, big deal, you know. And I'd cut back, and then I'd stop for a while, and then I'd go back. And eventually what happened was I went to a doctor for a checkup, and there's this huge staghorn kidney stone in my kidney, and one of the big causes of it is, guess what? Coffee. And I says, well, how about just caffeine or decaf? No, it's coffee. Well, I had years of warning before I went to that doctor. So whose fault is that? Did Jesus pay stripes on his back for healing for my body? He did. But now I've got to stand in faith for something that I disobeyed God in, when he was trying to get me in the easiest way possible to prevent something from even happening in my body. I ignored it as though it's an optional thing. Like it's not that big of a deal. Anything God speaks to you about is a big deal. Okay? So why am I saying all that? Because sometimes you might not get the exact answer you're looking for. Other things need to be downloaded first. Amen? But anything he says to you, take it into account and trust him in it. So you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And the key there is know it, not just read about it. But the verse before that, in verse 31, it's a prerequisite. It says this, if, and anytime there's an if there, that means there's a requirement from you. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So there's something on our part that we have to do. How are we going to get to know him and all the plans and purposes he has for your life, and even who he is? Everything's revealed in the word, who he is, his plan in all of it, his purpose for your life, who you are in Christ if we're apart from the word. The word is the most necessary thing you have in life. And if Sunday morning or Tuesday night or whenever you come for Bible study, if that's the only time you're getting in the word, you're cutting yourself short. You need time in the word. You have an anointing from God. It tells us in 1 John 2 that you have an anointing and he is going to teach you. Amen. So you get in the word with an expectation to understand, and you shall be free. Amen. So revelation truth comes with that. So the question is how free are you? How free are you? Are you liberated? Are you bound? Where are you? Amen. Are we truly free? Because if we're bound up in any area, then we need to look at the word of God in that area. And we need to ask questions. Ask him questions. He already knows you have them. Amen. So just talk to him about, I don't quite get this, and you know, go over it. And he'll lead you to other scriptures that confirm it. He'll speak to your heart. He'll open your eyes. So too many times we're just too fast reading the word. We need to spend a little bit of time in his presence with an expectation to hear from him. So do we really know what is ours because it's all revealed in the word? Do we know what's rightfully ours? There was a housekeeper in Chicago, and she was illiterate. She worked for a very, very wealthy man, and she came from another country. She didn't speak English, just a few words here and there, enough to get by with the housekeeping, and that was about it. And he died. He passed away. She worked for him for years and years and years. She was getting elderly. Still had not mastered the English language. And she received this embossed certificate and from her former employee, and she put it on her wall, framed it, and put it on her wall. Well, a while later, they found this woman starved to death in her apartment. And the sad thing is that beautifully embossed certificate for her was an inheritance of a lot of money. He wanted to make sure she was well taken care of because he knew her situation. She was ignorant of what belonged to her, and she lost everything. How much do we lose because we don't realize, and we're trying to get this from God and get that from God and get this from God, and he says, I've given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. It's the table's been set. You just go sit at the table, at the banquet table, in the presence of your enemies. That's not in heaven. That's not when we get this banquet. This is in the presence. There's no enemies in heaven. So in the presence of our enemies, he's got a banquet table set. There's healing bread on that table. Amen. Everything we need has been set before us, and he says, partake. It belongs to you. But I know for years, I was always looking to the pastor. I was looking to the guest speaker. I was looking to some big shebang to happen. And I wasn't going myself to receive what God had for me. And we can all enter the throne room of grace. It says, come in time of need. Come in time of trouble. And we're not to hold back. We're supposed to come. We're supposed to ask. We're supposed to expect. We're supposed to receive. It's here. Amen. Just belly right up to that table and take off of it what you need. Amen. Just like at Thanksgiving, there's a multitude of things to choose from. You might not need everything on your plate, but those things that you really desire, that's what you put on your plate. That's what you partake of. And that's what we have with God. The blessings are there. They're laid out for us. But if we don't want to be like that woman, even though, you know, peace in the midst of the storm. People, you look around the, and people are pulling their hair out and frazzled and worried and stressed and strife. And over 90% of all sickness and disease is stress-induced. We're bringing things on ourselves because we haven't come to a place where we cast the whole of our care upon Him because He greatly cares for me. So I'm taking it upon myself. And as I do, then toxins are released in my body and they pool towards different organs or muscles or bones. Or they hit all our bodies differently, depends on how we function. So, you know, I can't say how it's going to hit me, how it's going to hit you. But there's different things we deal with, and the majority of it is stress-induced. And yet, He says, cast the care on me. Amen. Oh, He wants us to walk in this place. And I have got to fly here. So we're going to be looking for God's grace, His divine influence. In 2 Peter 1:2, it says, grace, divine influence upon the heart of its reflection in life, and peace, which is prosperity, quietness, to set at one again. So God's grace and God's peace is to be functioning in our lives at all time. Amen. Is that part? That's part of our inheritance. That's part of what belongs. It's part of what's on the table. Peace and joy and love and gentleness and self-control. It's all there. It's all there. It's all there. It's all here. Because the love of God's been shed abroad in our heart. And it's been deposited in us. And the fruit of the Spirit is love as evidenced in joy, peace, and on and on. It's there. It's for us. Amen. So we talk about grace and peace being multiplied unto you through the knowledge. Where do we get the knowledge? Through the knowledge of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through the Word of God. Amen. And then verse 3, 2 Peter 1:3, according to His divine power, He's given us everything. I've quoted this before. Pertaining to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him who called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given to us precious, exceeding, great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. All the promises, His divine nature, we're to partake of that. We're to be that. We're to display that. That's part of who you are. That's part of your DNA now. You've been born again. You have a new DNA. You have a new family line, new connections. Things have been imparted to you. Amen? And we have part of that divine nature, Christ in you. Say, Christ in me.
Christ in me
is God's hope for glory. See, every one of us are glory vessels. Amen. He wants to pour out of you His glory. He wants you designated. You're His hope. His faith is in you. Amen. His faith is in the anointing, the greater one on the inside of you, the glory on the inside of you. But some of us are walking around without even knowledge of what's inside of us. We don't even understand that divine nature that's on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Do we have time for one more scripture maybe? I'll do it fast. I can talk fast. 2 Corinthians 10:12. Because part of this is when we see somebody walking in that divine nature, we look at them and we think, look at her. She's growing in God. She's excelling in the things of God. Look at that. And we look at people and we disqualify ourselves and think, well, we're not as holy or as good or as sharp as they are. Or we'll look at somebody else and think, look where I'm at compared to them. And then we get full of pride and disqualify ourselves from going further. So 2 Cor 10:12 says, "For we do not dare to make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves with themselves, they are not wise." Look at your neighbor. Everybody look at somebody. Look at somebody. You guys look at each other, okay? Hallelujah. You say, "I am not you. You are not me, but I've got God's divine grace in me. And I have a call to do what he's called me to do. And it's not what he's called you to do." Hallelujah. You have grace, you have anointing, you have equipping on the inside of you to do whatever is required of you by God. Don't ever doubt it. Don't ever question it. We've got some examples. What we need to do is just be ourselves and follow his lead and do what he says. Amen. We're to stay in faith and we're to stay at peace. That's simple. Amen. But we're not going to allow our past to keep us from going on into our future. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past. Doesn't matter what mistakes you've made. Doesn't matter what's pulled you down. It's in your past and it's under the blood. And if you hadn't truly given it to God, then do it right now and just say, "Okay, God, it's yours. Once and for all, it's yours. And I'm getting beyond this thing. I'm moving forward with you." Do not allow the enemy to lie to you and deceive you, to think you can't do something because of some choice you made in the past. It may have hindered your life. It may have stopped you from some things, but it doesn't have to continue on in your life, stopping you from what God has. Here's some examples of some people that came out of it. Moses was a murderer, right? But he became God's mighty deliverer. Gideon was extremely insecure, right? He was hiding, and yet he became the Lord's warrior. Peter was the denier, denied Jesus 3 times. And yet he was the proclaimer of Pentecost. Amen. John was boisterous and loud and a braggart, and yet he became the apostle of love, right? And Mark, remember Mark? He was the quitter. And yet, Paul says, "He's profitable to me in the ministry." They'd all come from places that were not good. And they've all came and partook of what God had for them and rose up, and God used them mightily. And we are in a day and an hour where God is looking for those that are of faith. He's looking. Are you going to listen? Are you going to follow? Are you going to obey? He's just looking. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me? I said you're anointed. I said you're equipped. I said you've got glory and grace on the inside of you. Are you going to obey? It says the believers lay hands on the sick. Amen. It says you're an ambassador. You have a message. You have something that represents him. And he's looking. All of the earth, all of creation is groaning, crying out for the sons of God to be revealed. That's us. So part of the revelation is when we're getting in the Word and we find out who we are in him. And we begin to walk that out. And part of it, when we begin to walk it out, is when it's revealed to them. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. We're not here by accident. God has you where you are, in your home, in your community, in your job, on purpose. Amen? And he loves you tremendously. Are you glad? Amen. I would be glad to pray if anybody has a desire for prayer. But I also want to let you know this too. I want you, there's newsletters here, 3 of them. There's these books you can take. If you'd like one of them, you may have one of them as well. If you'd like more, you can buy more, but I just want to make sure everybody gets one if you want one. But does anybody here desire prayer, need prayer for anything?